This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Nearly every other state, Illinois had the fourth slowest growth. The United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois' fall fundraiser, Dine United, is underway. Each Wednesday in September and October, select local restaurants will donate a percentage of sales to the United Way. Dine United, which started in 2013, is an opportunity to support locally owned restaurants and the United Way just by eating lunch. The community is encouraged to visit one of the participating restaurants or shops for a socially distanced lunch or takeout during lunchtime. To see the list of participating restaurants, go to nowdecatur.com. Since the Macon County Health Department's last update on Wednesday, September 8th, there have been 106 new COVID-19 cases reported in Macon County. Officials also reported the death of one resident, a male in his 50s. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Republicans are pushing back. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
The president's speech yesterday was unlike anything I'd ever heard.
Former Vice President Mike Pence telling Fox he took particular issue with President Biden scolding people still unvaccinated, saying his patience is wearing thin.
That's not how the American people expect to be spoken to by our elected leader.
Some Republican governors could challenge the president's orders after he took aim at them.
These governors won't help us beat the pandemic. I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
Here's what the new Biden COVID vaccine strategy includes.
Employers of more than 100 people or so that will be required to either get the vaccine or undergo weekly testing. People that work at medical facilities that receive reimbursement from Medicare or Medicaid, they'll have to be vaccinated. We're also expecting to see more of an increase in the federal mandate for federal agencies, federal workers, federal contractors.
Fox's Mark Meredith in Los Angeles. The school board voted unanimously to mandate students 12 and older get a COVID vaccine. Some parents spoke out against it.
We're the ones who should be making the decisions. When you have your own kids, you can make your own crazy decisions. Did you hear me?
The president also last night got on the phone with China's leader. Fox's Simon Owen following this live.
And Dave, the White House says President Biden and China's President Xi Jinping had a broad discussion and agreed to engage both openly and straightforwardly. The 90-minute call was initiated by the U.S. It's the first time the leaders have spoken in 7 months, and there are tensions over human rights and COVID-19. China says President Xi used the call to complain of serious difficulties in relations, but also offered cooperation going forward. Dave.
Simon, another big jump in inflation, surging again last month at the wholesale level. It's now up 8.3% versus August 2020, the biggest annual gain since that was being calculated. America's listening to Fox News.
Warner Brothers Pictures presents Cry Macho, the story of being lost and found as Clint Eastwood returns as Mike Milo, a one-time rodeo star who then takes a job from an ex-boss to bring the man's young son home from Mexico. The unlikely pair face a challenging journey. The only road home is through redemption. Now, you'll be able to see it in theaters and on HBO Max for 31 days, September the 17th. It's rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for kids under 13.
Refinance to today's low mortgage rates and you could save up to $1,000 a month, plus tens of thousands in long-term savings. It just takes a 10-minute call to American Financing to get started. You'll get a custom loan with incredible savings, no pressure, no upfront fees. Pre-qualify for free at 800-777-8109 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Tomorrow, it's 20 years since Americans watched terror live on TV in the 9/11 attacks that killed nearly 3,000 people in New York's collapsed Twin Towers, where a hijacked plane crashed in Pennsylvania, and at the Pentagon.
An American flag will be unfurled at sunrise on the west side of the Pentagon, where the hijacked American Airlines Flight 77 crashed, killing 184 people. A ceremony will be held at 9 a.m. at the National 9/11 Pentagon Memorial in Arlington. Because of coronavirus restrictions, the memorial is not open to the public this year. President Biden will visit the Pentagon, Ground Zero in New York, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania to observe the 20th anniversary of the deadliest terror attacks on U.S. soil. Rachel Sutherland, Fox News.
Seven people are recovering in East St. Louis, Illinois, the day after being shot and wounded. Hours later, a getaway car being chased by police crashed into a commuter train. Three suspected gunmen were arrested. On Wall Street, they're shaking off that new inflation report. Stock futures are rising after four straight down trading days for the Dow. Same old for Tom Brady. as the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers kick off the new NFL season with a win.
Here they come. After Brady throws, caught! Gronkowski to the end zone.
Brady threw four TD passes, leading Tampa Bay past the Dallas Cowboys 31-29 on NBC. On the tennis court,
Emerald Kanu entered the U.S. Open on a qualifying bid, but the 150th-ranked women's tennis player is now going to appear in her first Grand Slam final. She stunned 18th-seed Maria Sakkari in semifinal action Thursday in New York. The 18-year-old Brit will go up against 19-year-old Canadian Leila Fernandez, who scored another win over a top-five competitor, besting second-seed Arina Sabalenka in three sets to advance to her first Grand Slam final as well.
Fox's Matt Apollo's tonight, Novak Djokovic is in the semifinals, two wins away from the Grand Slam, taking all four major tournaments this year. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today is going to be mostly sunny with a high just over 80, and tonight mostly clear with a low around 65. For Saturday, sunny with a high near 90, and Sunday, sunny with a high near 92. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 57 degrees. Your WSOY time is 8:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday, September 10th edition of Byers & Company. Joining in this hour will be Chaplain Steve Holden, who's been to Ground Zero and 9/11 several times. We'll talk about his experiences there. Also, the mayor and county board chairman, and Nicole Bateman from EDC. Company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Nick, if we get a chance, we might talk about what happened in Australia over the last couple of days, too. A court there has decided that media companies can be held liable for the people who comment on their social media platforms.
That's interesting.
I don't know that it will ever take hold here, but at least in some parts of the world, they're trying to do something about the just outrageous behavior of human beings.
Yeah, we got to have some conversations about conversations.
Yeah, anyway, that's an interesting topic, but maybe we'll get time, maybe not. If not, we'll approach it on Monday. All right, it is our great pleasure to welcome Chaplain Steve Holden to the program. You have been a first responder since 1992, is that correct?
That's right.
All right, turn that microphone up a little bit and get a little closer if you don't mind there. There you go. How did you get involved to begin with?
It was a matter of just community response and stepping up to the plate with a few things. Got firefighter training, EMT training, the license, and everything just kind of evolved from there.
Okay, Nick, I'm still getting a little, if you wouldn't mind just pulling that microphone up just a little bit. That arm will move up with you. Sorry about that. All right, that's better. Now, so you've been doing this for a long time. You've been a chaplain for how long?
Chaplain since 1982 and with first responder since 92.
Okay, so you've been doing this for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But what do you get out of the job? I mean, I know it's about helping others, but I mean, what made you feel compelled to sort of to do this and to give back?
I think it was a couple of things. First off, just a manner of presence, of bringing a stability, a Christ-centered approach to the whole scene. Stress management, as far as what else I get out of it, is fulfillment of knowing that what could not have happened didn't happen.
All right. And so you would encourage other people to find purpose like that? I feel like we don't have as much of that, and maybe that's just a part of getting older. You feel like the next generations maybe are not picking up that sort of idea of service and giving back, and it used to be we could look to public officials, but so often that has just sort of gone the opposite way. More and more people can make a difference if they just step up to the plate.
I'd like to think so. I mean, it's the thing to where volunteerism, I remember as a kid, was all over the place. But now your volunteer organizations are struggling to find people to help, to work. Look at the Kiwanis, look at Ambuck, some of the rest of them. It's a tough place.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin, or what I do, is not for everybody. I mean, it's a definite calling, and to step into situations like what we do isn't for everybody. People could be much more helpful on an everyday basis just through community involvement, community volunteerism.
All right. So when you literally first visited Ground Zero, you've been there three times, from my understanding. Is that
correct? Yes.
There, you were there weeks after 9/11 to help. Can you, the images are all burned into our minds of watching this all on TV. You know, what was the biggest surprise to you when you actually arrived there in person? And you got to see all five senses of it.
I think a lot of it hit all at once, being down in the hole in Ground Zero. There was a remarkable silence. And there was a real respect and almost a reverence of what everybody was doing. You got to remember the compression factor there was, the towers were 110 stories. At that point, when it came down, the pile was basically 100 and some feet. So you had 10 floors compressed into every 10 feet. And as they went through the rubble, they could almost pick out and see it sometimes, looking at the paperwork, where they were, what floor, what company, what organization was in there. And so it was a thing of the smell. There were things of, when you looked and you got a sense, looked into the workers' eyes, you knew that they were on a mission.
Yeah, at this point, they'd been at it for weeks.
Yes, yes. And at that point, honestly, the real work was just starting.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they had to get a lot of area cleared, a lot of debris removed before they could actually go in and do the recovery efforts.
All right. So what did you do there? What were your responsibilities while you were there serving?
Well, I was under the jurisdiction of the Port Authority. And a lot of people don't realize the Port Authority is a bi-state jurisdiction of New York and New Jersey. They actually own the Trade Center. So in addition to Ground Zero itself, we made rounds every day to all the bridges, all the tunnels, the airports, the seaports, Pier 93 was an intake center, it was about the size of an airplane hangar, huge. I think there was about 50 or 60 different languages represented there. And so we made rounds to all of those places. The people that were involved were rotated in and out of those areas as well, down into the Ground Zero and then back to their duty assignments.
Okay. I'm assuming, maybe this is the wrong assumption, that these guys and gals operated on adrenaline for a long time, but maybe by the time you arrived weeks after, they were coming to grips with the psychology of all of this. I feel like there was, everybody, particularly the first responders, just went into duty mode, right? They didn't matter that they escaped. They had to go right back in. They just operated. That takes a toll. Eventually, this thing comes home to them.
It does. And it's a thing to where the adrenaline mode will keep in there for a long time. And so even when we do debriefing work, you don't go in on a long, prolonged, catastrophic event and try and bring people out of it right away. What we do is rest, rotate, and rehabilitate. And so with that in mind, you let them work. They're very well trained. Don't pull them out of that mode. But decrease the stress, decrease the spiritual stamina, things like that that goes into it. I remember at one of the tunnels, I talked to one of the officers there, and he said he had just gotten off when the attack happened and wanted to turn right around and go back in and was ordered to stay at the tunnel, secure the location, block things off. And he says, "Chap," he says, "it was killing me for 24 hours. I needed to get back in there." He says, when the next day came and it was my turn for the rotation, he goes, "I was ready to roll until they handed me the magic marker." And he says, "it stopped me in my tracks." And the thing with the magic marker, technology has changed.
Sure.
Today on catastrophic scenes, workers are issued some type of a electronic format where all their information is scanned and embedded. Back then, you took the magic marker and you wrote your badge number, your ID number on your forearm, your upper arm, on every extremity, so that if a secondary explosion, secondary something happened, and you were part of the next problem, so to speak, They knew who they were looking for, who they could recover. And he says, it stopped me out of my tracks.
Yeah.
He says, I had to realize, you know, 15 years on this job, was I really ready to find what I was looking for? And so the adrenaline is a reoccurring event as the whole time takes place.
What did you just hear from the folks? And I understand you visited with even the truck six, you know, all those firefighters, I believe, except for one, died. You had a chance to visit with them.
Exactly. Everybody's basically heard of truck six.
Yeah.
And that was the crew that that rode the towers down. Engine six was different. They lost everybody except one. And I've been in touch with Billy for, 20 years now. Off and on over the year, we'll always go back and forth on the anniversary, Christmas, different times like that. He came down seconds before the tower did and was stopped in the ground floor lobby. His coworkers, the other guys, were waving him off, don't come out, don't come off. And he said, all I could see was the splats taking place, and it was the jumpers coming down. They didn't want him to get hit by them. He said, to this day, I can't look at the Gateway computer boxes. Now, you remember Gateway way back then was the black and white, like Holstein Calvin.
Yes.
And so he says, it just reminded me of that. He says, they finally waved me through. I got out. We took off running. We heard the rumble. We knew things were coming down. I was out of air. We were breathing into our coats. Then, of course, the ash, the rumble. And at that point, we thought we were going to suffocate. Got into a building entrance a block or so down the street, covered ourselves the best we could. He says, then at that point, when it's time to see something and move again, he goes, literally the air was on fire. He says the heat was so intense from everything coming down. And all the paper from all the offices, he says it was combusting right in midair. We didn't know where we were going. And it was a thing to where, of course, I'm paraphrasing, you know, the short end of it here, but it was amazing how he even got out with his life.
There were a lot of those stories.
Yeah.
Hard for most people to comprehend, and we learned more after the fact. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch this National Geographic 6-part series.
Not which, yet.
But watch it. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I remember that day like it was yesterday. And so many people helped people that they didn't even know who they were and found out later, much later, you know, including the miracle in Stairwell B, which was the firefighters that were with the woman named Josephine Harris. They didn't know who she was. And because she couldn't go on anymore and they didn't want to leave her,
right,
they ended up surviving just because it happened to be that spot didn't get crushed and they were under rubble. But they only pulled 18 people alive out of that rubble after those towers collapsed. And then they found out later through the media who that woman was. And 9 years later, when she died, you know, they had a relationship. They were the pallbearers at her funeral.
I mean,
you know, those kind of stories of just perfect strangers that didn't know each other at all, but stayed behind or helped carry out, you know, they just weren't going to run for themselves. I mean, they were going to take care of the person next to them.
Well, and that's the thing that you find in human nature. You find what you're made of in adversity. And it's a thing to where you it either brings out the best or the worst in people. And there were so many stories of the best taking place all the time. And you know, that's a testimony to our responders. That's a testimony to the people at that time. That's a testimony to the civilians. There were tons of civilians that helped out in that after everything came down.
Yeah, the guy who saved, you know, they think maybe up to a couple of thousand lives, you know, who was the guy in the office who worried about the you know, having the escape route before any of this happened. It was the guy probably annoyed everybody with, you know, we had to have
Rick
protocols.
Riscoll.
Yeah. And the way even the firefighters described, you know, the orderly conduct of the people, you know, like that weren't trying to run over each other.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it's almost impossible to believe in today that we would act this way, just because if you just social media and everything else, it's all about wanting to argue and fight and New Yorkers, right? I mean, they're known for being, you know, fairly
got their
aggressive,
own.
you know, folks. But the way that they all went about it with caring about each other is, to me, one of the most amazing stories of the day.
It is. And it's the thing to where I had never been in New York City itself prior to that. I didn't know what to expect. I went in with an open mind. But I found there were good people. I found there were God's people everywhere.
Yeah. Talk to me about You've been back a couple of times since.
Yes.
Why? Why does it remain close to you? Why did you go back?
The first part was invitation.
Okay.
And I remember being Christmas of that same year. And so it was the thing at that point to go back into Ground Zero and see that the excavation basically had taken place by them. And you could, I went down into the very bottom, and the whole area was cleared, and you could see 5-6 floors below ground level, which would have been the parking area, would have been the mall, would have been the shopping area. The transit system came into the lower Manhattan. You've got to remember in 93 when they tried to blow up the towers the first time, that that's where the bombs were planted.
In the parking garage, yes.
Yes, yeah. And so it was a bittersweet time. It was great to celebrate Christmas up there with some of the people going back and forth. It was a time of remembrance and remorse, but it was a time for hope, because a lot of times what we like to say is people say, oh, well, things were great or things weren't so bad. 9/11 will always be etched in our mind. But the question we always return with is, what about 9/12? What do we do with the day after? The question is not, why did all this happen? The question is, what are we doing since then? What are we doing to make it better? What are we doing to improve ourselves, our society, our relationship with each other, our relationship with the Lord as it goes?
All right. You've also been to Shanksville.
Yes. Shanksville was very special in the fact that Flight 93, it was the only, the only ones that fought back. And the last orders that they received from the hijackers were sit down and be quiet. And if there's a time then and now that you in our country do not need to sit down and be quiet, it's now. Flight 93 went down in the field, as we know. The memorial is there. The memorial did not get built until 10 years after. Shanksville was almost a forgotten area out of it. Laura Bush basically spearheaded that. I was part of the memorial out there on year 9. With that, though, you've got to remember 92% of all airline disasters, crashes, happens away from the airport. So this is a volunteer fire company of, 25 guys that responded first off, and you walk into one of these, not here. This is 10 times bigger than what we can handle. But their initial responses were great. I've got a retired flag from Shanksville. I've got a retired flag from Ground Zero at Ten House, where everybody was killed. But Shanksville was remarkable in itself.
It is the story that, I know, because most of the visuals, it's a population thing. There's way more people in New York City, so there was way more footage. There were
sure.
way more things for people to see. The Pentagon's not, citizens can't just wander around, so there were fewer images there. Out in the middle of that field, there was nothing.
Right.
And I think it's so much, TV played such a big role, in that day, how we were consuming it, that's how it ended up getting sort of prioritized. I don't think that anyone thought one was more important or less important.
No.
But what those citizens did, right? One of the things that was eye-opening, we did an active shooter deal with the Decatur Police Department, where they come in and I was, you're used to sort of like, you think of law enforcement or even first responders like, stand down, you're not the professional. But they did the same thing. Being passive at that point isn't the way to go. I mean, you've got to fight back.
Absolutely.
But yet saying that and doing that are two completely different things.
It's two different things, but you realize at that point in your life, you're either going to fight or flight.
Yeah.
And then you look for...
They also knew what had happened because of cell phone technology.
Yes.
Which gave them more of a heads up than what the original two flights, that crashed into the World Trade Center. They didn't really know what the end game was. By the time they took that plane down in Pennsylvania, they did know.
It is. And it was the thing where they looked for opportunity. They used coffee pots. They used hot coffee. They used everything that they could to go against the terrorists. And it was an incredible crew that was on board. And, of course, you had to have a couple of people that stood up with some backbone and took the lead, and there was. Also remember that there is a second Flight 93 memorial just south of San Francisco, because that's where the plane was headed. So the crew, the passengers, they were all people going home.
Yes.
And so that still goes back and forth with them, too.
You have some things with you today. What are they?
I do. couple of the things, I don't know, I'll pass this over to you. That was actually the end of what we call a pike pole.
Mm-hmm.
That was taken off one of the engines at what we call, and I'm not joking when I say this, fresh kill. And once the debris was sorted and gone through at ground zero, it was put on a barge right there at the river, taken upstream to the local dump area where it was sifted through again. And, of course, at that point, we made rounds to the guys that were working up there. And as we were walking through the area and saw the burned out engines and response vehicles and everything, one of the guys said, "Chap, would you like something?" And I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And he goes, "You know, you've done a lot. How about a memento?" And so he gave me the end of the pike pole. You can see on one side of it, it's engraved New York from that. And so I've got that. I've got a what we call a high pressure straight tip nozzle. And one of these days I'm going to get around, I'm not a good carpenter, but to mount those things on some type of a desk board or whatever. But it's always it speaks to me.
It's a physical reminder.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
What do we do to, you know, I think about our 17-year-old, you know, who, you know, this didn't happen in his lifetime. You know,
right.
He didn't live through that day.
Mm-hmm.
We think about, you know, growing up, you know, I had relatives that would talk about Pearl Harbor, you know,
sure.
Or talk about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. You know, I wasn't alive during those things, but I have a historical appreciation of our history. I feel like there's a disconnect, you know, between the people who are, you know, under the age of 20, that mm-hmm. this didn't happen in their lifetime. How do you keep this memory alive of what happened to our country, to those people, to those heroes, to the sacrifice of this nation? How do we do that?
I think you have to go back to two dates. You have to talk about what happened 9/11. You have to talk about the good things that took place. You have to talk about the stories that we've already gone over as far as the people who in the stairwell. Then you go back to what we said earlier. You go back to 9/12. What are we doing today? How can you be a part of it? It's not that we want to keep bringing up morbid tales or anything else like that, but these memorials that we do, these services, these community events, these are things where people have an opportunity to buy into it, to be a part of it, to look at that part of history and say, hey, I wasn't there, but I can be a part of what's going on today, and we'll never forget.
Did we do right by those first responders as a country? I mean, because the aftermath, the cancer, the health issues, I mean, you know, those guys weren't worried about what they were breathing in, you know, those days and weeks afterwards. But there's been a lot of long-term health effects and impacts on these people's lives. Did we as a country do right by them?
The reason I hesitate is, first off, you weren't going to keep them out of there.
No.
We knew that. And so at that point, did we know what we were dealing with? I think there's a part we did. I think there's a bigger part that we didn't. I think the real issue with that was not what we did, but what we prevented or what we held up by bureaucracy, not getting them the examinations, the health benefits sooner, not getting the foundation set up. There was, you know, there was fraud with some of the donations, the money, the organizations, the people like that. And so if there's any fault with that, I would say, all right, it's the bureaucracy that prevented things from taking place sooner.
All right. Listen, we're thrilled that you reached out, and thank you for your service, all of it, going back to 1982, which is an amazing life. I know you've seen a lot. I hope people remember, at least, I can tell you, I know Nick thinks I keep harping on this National Geographic. It's just the most powerful. What it is six parts, so they're not trying to squeeze everything into some two-hour thing. I mean, they just...
Good idea.
And it's all the people who survived and the people who... Citizens and mm-hmm. first responders. And there's historical perspective now. You know, there's 20
sure.
years of looking back. And as one of the fire captains, you know, described it, you know, when he got there, you know, there was just... unbelievable devastation, but also unbelievable hope, that it was hard to sort of juxtapose those two things that were going on at one time. And you're right. There was nothing going to keep those guys from.
Absolutely.
I mean, and you could just see that. And you could see the fear. I mean, this was unlike anything they had ever encountered in their lives. And if you haven't, I think, force our 17-year-old, you know, to watch it just to have some perspective, because I think our political divide in this country, our divide on everything, we've forgotten right. what it's like to come together and be together as Americans first.
Well, and as first responders, we run to the roar.
Yep.
And that's the attitude that I want to take with everybody the thing, because we don't leave our own behind.
Chaplain Steve Holton, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for being here today.
God bless. Happy to be here.
All right. We're going to take a break, Nick, and we've got some good news with the mayor and the county board chairman and the head of the EDC coming up. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Shiler with your stories now. In observance of Veterans Suicide Prevention Month in September, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Suicide Prevention Team and Richland Community College present the first annual Operation Obstacle, the Race to End Veteran Suicide. This timed 2-mile obstacle course will be held on Richland's campus on September 25th, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Workforce Development Institute. The event is open to the public, with Richland students and employees taking part in the race and participating as volunteers. Fun physical obstacles, musical entertainment, and snacks and water will be available for race finishers. The 2021 Mount Zion Chamber Expo and Taste will be held Saturday, September 11th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Mount Zion Convention Center in Mount Zion. Admission is free at this family-friendly event with something for all age groups. Taste tickets will be available at the door for $7 for 5 tickets. The 2021 Mount Zion Chamber Expo and Taste will feature 35 exhibitors, including Taste vendors. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
I'm Chris Foster. Some Republican governors say they'll sue over the Biden administration forcing businesses with at least 100 employees to require coronavirus vaccinations or weekly testing. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
I don't think it actually helps to get more people to ultimately do it, but I do not believe that people should lose their jobs over this issue, and we will fight that.
President Biden says it's his job to protect all Americans.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
The Los Angeles Board of Education is now requiring vaccines for all students 12 and up. A lockdown's lifted at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. Two people had reported hearing a gunshot.
I'm happy to report that no threat has been identified.
Air Force Colonel Patrick Miller, the source of that noise, is under investigation. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Add curb appeal with the new ThermaTrue entry door from Maroa Lumber. Whether you want the look of real wood or a pop of color, you'll find a wide variety of styles to choose from. ThermaTrue doors are durable and energy efficient. They won't rot like wood or dent or rust like steel. They offer up to 4 times the insulation value of most wood doors and carry outstanding warranties. No wonder they're the most preferred entry door brand among building professionals. Discover the ThermaTrue doors at Maroa Lumber, 229 East Main in Maroa.
Fall into fashion with apparel in deep, rich fall colors of rust, brown, and green. Fall into fashion in leggings, straight leg, and fun, flowy palazzo pants. Fall into fashion in comfy shirts, tunics, and sweaters. Fall into fashion at Shop on Main in downtown Decatur. Fall into fashion in beautiful wraps, coats, scarves, and gloves. And fall into fashion with wonderful handbags, jewelry, unique accessories, and gifts for men, women, and children. Fall into fashion at Shop on Main at 407 North Main Street. Modern looks, old fashion pampering.
Hi, JR here from Speed Lube, and I'm just like you. I don't like waiting around for something to get done either. At Speed Lube, we pride ourselves in offering you the best customer service experience in as little time needed, featuring quality Pennzoil motor oil. Speed Lube and Pennzoil are two names you can trust to keep your vehicle running at tip-top shape regardless of the weather. Stop in and visit us at any of our 6 convenient Decatur area locations or our shops in Lincoln and Clinton, and get your Pennzoil oil change today at Speed Lube.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today is going to be sunny with a high just over 80, and tonight mostly clear with a low around 65. For Saturday, sunny with a high near 90, and Sunday, sunny with a high near 92. Current temperature in downtown Decatur sits at 59 degrees, and your WSOY time is 8:34.
listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Friday, good morning and welcome. We are in the studios, and Nicole Bateman joins us every couple of weeks, but she has some special guest with her today because there's good news to talk about, and I'm going to turn it over to you. First of all, welcome to Julie Wolf, the mayor of Decatur. And I always forget, which is your official mayor name and your official HSHS name?
Moore Wolf is the mayor name, and HSHS is the Moore name on its own.
Okay. It's
okay.
It's like dealing with Beyonce or something. I just, you know, sometimes I just don't, yeah. Bay. That's Mayor
we'll
Bay.
Just call you Bay.
I like that. And also the chairman of the Macon County Board, Kevin Greenfield, here in the studios along with Nicole. So good news. We got talking about a new company, new jobs, and, as part of what you guys do, exciting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know oftentimes when I come on and I say, you know, we've got things in the pipeline, and I'm always, you know, kind of quiet and cagey about it because we just can't talk about it until we're ready to announce. And the Atkins Group, which is an Urbana-based company, is building Cardinal Warehouse, which is a 635,000 square foot logistics facility here in Decatur. They started construction already. So if you drive north on what is, you know, Brush College Road, and then you take a nice right turn onto what some people might refer to as Old Brush College Road, that's been renamed Commercial Crossing. That's exactly what's happening there. And so that is going to be, Cardinal Warehouse will be the newest development, and it's going to be really the first domino to fall in that area as far as brand new warehouse distribution and logistics facilities.
All right. And Mayor or Kevin, both, you know, when you look at this, 635,000 square feet, that's a hard number to get your head around, just, you know, how big a facility that is. What does this mean for jobs, for Decatur, for taxpayers, for your bodies?
Well, it's huge. And one thing, Brian, that really it does is it shows the work that's been going on behind the scenes for, the past probably 10 years at least. But, you know, it's you can't just, Nicole can't go out and sell an area and say, build this without the infrastructure that's needed to make it work. And so that's why it's so important that we move forward with the Beltway project, because this is going to be direct access to the Beltway. And what it's going to do to the community, too, is not just the building jobs and not just the jobs once this is done, and Nicole can elaborate on that, but, you know, we've talked about the Midwest and LaPorte, and we've talked about, you know, the importance of roads and this, that, and the other thing in transportation, why it's so critical that the city and county work together. But this will show the community. You're not going to be able to miss this thing because it's going to be giant. It's going to be like, oh.
Yeah.
So that's what all this means, and really be, you know, an anchor.
And that's what government is good at. I mean, when you think about local government, infrastructure is, you know, what you can bring to the table to help, you know, work with all the interested
parties. But that's what's
parts.
Unique about Decatur and Macon County. We actually work together because, you know, I have a hard time telling you where our boundary ends and his begins. And for him to be working on something with the county and the city to be working on something, you know, that's not on the same page, it doesn't make any sense. But most communities aren't like this.
Kevin, do you agree?
Totally, Brian. excuse me. Without question, the city and the county's relationship has improved tremendously over the last 5 or 6 years, and I really feel because of that we are where we are today, and I think only better things are coming.
Well, we had, you know, clearly 18 months of, you know, the whole world stops, and so a lot of conversations that you had going or things, I'm sure that put, you know, a dent in the timeline of things. But if you think about what's going on with supply chain management right now, and I mean, it is everything, from chips for cars to literally, you know, people just can't get stuff moved. And then you throw a hurricane on top of that, which, you know, didn't, you know, help in any regard. Are more and more places, you know, when we look at manufacturing, we look at transportation, we look about warehouse storage and moving things, we look better and better, right, every day that goes by.
Absolutely. Our capabilities that we have in this community between the quick highway access, the non-congestion, the intermodal ramp to import and export, even the airport, which has huge potential and value to the community in the future, we have what it takes to be the Midwest Inland Port, and that's exactly what we're doing. And so I think when we announced the Midwest Inland Port effort, you know, maybe five or six years ago, we were really good at setting high expectations. I think folks expected that these warehouses and these manufacturing facilities would start popping up immediately. That's not how it works. It takes a while to build that critical mass, but now we've got that critical mass. We've got companies, not only our local companies, now utilizing and realizing the value to their bottom line of using those Midwest and LaPorte assets, But now we have new companies that are seeing that. And as distribution and supply chains have changed, and even more so drastically over the past year, as you noted, Decatur is looking even better and better as a place for investment. And that's a lot of the projects we have in the pipeline really revolve around our central location.
Right. And that's not something that turns on a dime. You know, right. If companies have been relying on overseas, but now they realize how easily that can sort of just be halted and they have absolutely no control over it and feel like if I'm back here, at least I can have a little bit more say in keeping my company open.
Absolutely. And even when you are continuing to import product from overseas, getting in and out of Chicago is a disaster right now. It has been for a long time, and it's made even worse, and it's even becoming more expensive. There are demurrage charges up there that are uncontrolled by the folks who are trying to get their product out, so it's just getting more expensive. We don't have demurrage charges, and we don't have wait times here. So that's huge, and that is a huge attraction that we have. And again, it's building on that message over time. Companies are seeing it now. The Atkins Group is seeing that opportunity of Decatur central location and how easy, and we've heard this from other companies, but and to Kevin and Julie's point about collaboration, we heard this from the Atkins Group too, how easy it has been to work with our community. Even on a project like this where we have the Beltway that we're nudging north just enough that they can fit their whole facility in and now have direct access to the Beltway, right? Where before in other communities, you know, it's like, well, we're not going to do this, or, well, we don't get along with the county, so we're not going to do that. And just hard to move that rock. Well, here, you know, the easier you can make it to do business and the more prepared you are, having sites ready, having the infrastructure in place like the high-speed fiber, all the water, sewer, all of that is what's going to get us even more projects like this, and that's exciting for our future.
Interesting to note that the Atkins Group is a family-owned business out of Urbana.
They are.
And they're investing that money in Macon County to build this 635,000-square-foot facility. How many jobs once it's open? I think maybe spring of next year, summer of next year?
Yep, summer of next year is the target date. So in the spring, we will be able to announce the tenant who will be doing the hiring, and that will be about 75 jobs. And so that's 75 direct jobs at the facility, but that's not to mention all the
construction.
You think about construction and then the ripple effect of who's getting the product there and where that's then ultimately landing and the impact that will have. So,
all right. Mary, I know you and Kevin both would probably rather come in all the time and talk about this.
Absolutely. We love infrastructure. Sewers are my thing. You know, roads are I've been a road guy for a long, long time. So it's exciting because a lot of times people don't understand why we are constantly pushing to get money for roads and bridges.
Well,
and
look at something even a little more entertaining than that, the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater. You know, there was an investment made on behalf of the elected officials saying we'll help with some of the engineering costs and the infrastructure to work with a private partner, meaning the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. I know there were some people that basically said, oh, that's, you know, pipe dream. You know, in fact, that was an actual quote by one sitting council member.
Yeah.
And yet you go there, whether it's tomorrow night or maybe the biggest weekend ever this last weekend. I saw you, by the way, turning into a 14-year-old girl on the Kevin Costner show.
Well, wouldn't you if you were in my shoes? I mean, every woman over 50 was just, you know, he may not have been the best singer, but he sure was cute.
You didn't even care, right?
No.
I mean, were you even listening to the singing?
No, not at all.
But Kevin, that is a perfect example of, you know, a partnership and thinking outside the box, but creating quality of life for our community.
Yeah, without question. The city and the county, we get together and we meet every 2 weeks at least, usually more than that.
But
every 2 weeks we get together and we talk about our infrastructure needs and where we're at and where we're going. And it's really been a good partnership. It's worked well.
Success tends to turn into more success, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so that's why when we get projects like this or any project, big or small, any expansion project by local businesses, we celebrate it and we announce it and we distribute it all across the globe and all our channels, because we need people to know that Decatur and Macon County is a great place to do business, but that there's a reason people are investing here, and we can't be quiet about it anymore. We have to tell our story, and that's what we have been doing for a number of years now. Others are telling our story for us. The connections we're making on the regional level, you know, this I was introduced by Carly McCrory, who is the Champaign County EDC president, to Mark Dixon, the president of the Atkins Group. And that's where the conversation started. And so from there, because we'd already had a trusting relationship with Champaign, she's got a trusting relationship with this group. the trust is starting to build there, and then we can go on and we can move these projects forward.
That's why the collaboration and seeing things from 30,000 feet is so important.
Exactly.
Whereas old school, it would have been not only not Macon County working with Champaign, it would be like Forsyth working against Decatur or the county. You know, and when you get everybody on the same page, you're going to get wins all over the place. But the region is the overall winner.
And Brian, exactly. I've got to tell you how lucky we are to have Nicole in the position she's in, being our front person, really putting these deals together. Kevin and I are in the background, you know, trying to, you know, do the let's get the money in to do these road projects. But Nicole is the person who really carries the water for these projects and goes out. And, you know, there's a lot of rejection involved in economic development. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get these wins, and that's why we celebrate them. But it's a lot of working, only to be cut. And so, you know, she has done a phenomenal job just pushing forward and really trying to be our, you know, our sales force for this community and for economic development. And that translates into real jobs for real families and really moving our community forward. And she's just doing an outstanding job.
All right, let's go to the flip side of that and careersdecatur.com because we know Labor Day is changing a lot of, you know, this past weekend, a lot of these extra benefits or things that maybe people had access to are going to go away in varying degrees. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people out there that I know took advantage of using this time to brush up their skill set or maybe think about something bigger. But we still have a lot of jobs available in this community. A lot of people that are out there thinking they don't qualify or they don't have the skills, and we still need to bridge those two things. Talk to me a little bit about how that works again and all the resources that are available for people that are out there maybe now looking more than they were a month ago or 2 months ago.
Absolutely. So careersdecatur.com is a wonderful place to start. From there, you'll have direct access to Workforce Investment Solutions and Richland Community College, both of which can match you up with career planners and discuss with you what your needs are, what your goals are. Oftentimes, there is funding available to cover almost any needs you might have. If you're interested in training, but also just to view the list of jobs we have open in the community. Right now we have about 2,000 jobs open, and they run the gamut from entry level all the way up to, you know, highly skilled professional level. Where things have changed is that sometimes you don't have to go into the job knowing all the skills. A lot of our companies now have shifted where they will teach you the skills on the skills you need while you're on the job. So that's important. But what we need is for consistent, reliable employees. And that's what will help you keep that job and grow there.
Yeah, and we've talked to a number of people through a number of companies over the last year, you know, where somebody worked at a fast food restaurant or maybe they were a bartender, you know, and the career stuff was kind of up and down and all over with COVID. They didn't think maybe they'd fit into Caterpillar or Tate & Lyle, and they got there, and by the time you and I talked to them, they'd had two or three promotions.
Yep, exactly. So if you want to work, there are jobs out there. And don't sell yourself short. You have skills that are transferable, and you can take on these new jobs and these new industries that I think you'll probably find more satisfying and rewarding than what you even think. And there's some great videos on that webpage, too, of folks that are living in our community that have done that same exact thing and have taken that jump. And so don't just take our word for it, right? Hear directly from those folks that have done it before you.
Well, being the broadcast professional that I am, Nick, I'll tie this up with one last bow. One of those people that we talked to was someone who had gone through rehabilitation and through Crossings campus. We didn't know it the day that we were going to talk to him.
Right, yep.
He was working at Fuyao Glass. And when I thought the background looked familiar when, you know, the video came up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, he's literally living in the residential, you know, and was literally sober for the first time in a number of years, reestablished contact with his kids, you know, just bought a new truck and had been promoted. And tomorrow night at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater, you can come out and support the efforts there. Because all the ticket purchases and the profits from the show are going back to Tanya and her group over there, courtesy of the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. I also remind you that every single first responder and their entire families can get in free to the show tomorrow night. If you want to make a donation, I'm sure you can. But come out and see the show. And you're probably not going to see any better musicians. This would be the exact opposite of Kevin Costner. These would be guys who are actual musicians that are not relying on, a movie career to make it. You heard Howard talk about his cousin, when we did with the opening, and how he died of a drug addiction. And, Howard's, over time, understanding of what that meant versus when it happened. And I know in his mind, he wishes he could go back in time and do and act differently or treat differently or get help for that young man.
But the lives that he is changing, due to that campus at Crossing and Tanya and the folks there. It's amazing.
Absolutely. So tomorrow night, and then, of course, at 5:30 down at the lake, they're going to do a 9/11 memorial as well. I know Kazire is doing something today. And so 20 years. Can you believe that?
I can't, Brian. I was in here with you on the 12th after it happened.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, you talk about shock that didn't stop.
We, you know, I'll never forget, just by sheer irony, we were on the phone, you know, at the top of the hour with an artist in New York who was coming to Kirkland Fine Arts Center that weekend for Milliken to perform. The first plane had hit, you know, everybody thought, you know, somebody had a heart attack and flew a Cessna into a tall building in New York, and then everybody saw the second plane. And it was unbelievable, but the community came, you know, we didn't know what to do. I mean, you know, I was thinking it was 5 years into my radio career, and we raised, I don't know, $300,000 that next day to send to the Red Cross for all those locations. And you know, this community didn't know how to help, so it did the only thing it could do, which was be generous and make donations. But I just, you know, it's so weird to sit here today and think about our 17-year-old just never experienced any of it.
Yeah, we were. I was at the Chamber of Commerce at the time, and there was an EDC board meeting going on, and I went in to tell them the towers had fallen.
Yeah.
And Phil Hazenfield's son worked in a building next door. He fortunately was not there that day, but Phil couldn't find him. And so,
It's unbelievable. I know you watched the National Grid, or saw a social media post that
Oh my gosh, what a series.
I couldn't binge it because it's just too much. I mean, I had to do it one episode at a time. It's just, you know, it's that raw and devastating. But there's also a ton of hope and an unbelievable great stories. And now that you have names and context and all that stuff looking back, it's on. I watched it on Hulu. I'm sure it's on Disney as well, since they own National Geographic. It's called 9/11, One Day in America. It's 6 episodes.
I think there's a new one on tonight.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different stuff.
I didn't know.
But you have the ability now to be able to sort of look at these folks 20 years later. You know, during the time, we were just talking to a chaplain, you know, who was there in the weeks after, you know, helping with the firefighters and the first responders. But 20 years gives you, you know, perspective on what it's meant.
Yeah. And, you know, you were talking this morning about the babies that were born that never knew their parents or their fathers.
There was a special on about the kids that are in the classroom with President Bush, you know, who are now, you know, college kids, you know, in their 20s. And, you know, that kind of throws it all out of whack for you, because in some ways it doesn't seem like 20 years at all. In some ways it does every bit of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, great news. Thank you so much, Nicole, for all the hard work. And I know the last, you know, 18 months is, you know, throwing all of that into a tailspin. But hopefully
she kept working.
Well, no, I know she did. I'm just saying timelines.
It was a weird year.
Yeah, timelines changed a little bit. But keep up the great work. We hope to do lots of these announcements over the next months and years. Great stuff. And I know you guys have a press conference to get to, so we'll let you get out of here.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back with more right after this.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Do you want a chance to positively impact the Decatur community and grow your career? If you've got the passion, Decatur Memorial Hospital is the place. Right now, Decatur Memorial Hospital, an affiliate of Memorial Health System, is hiring for a wide range of positions across multiple departments and clinic areas. Apply your passion today and visit jobs.choosememorial.org to see all available positions, benefits, and more. Come discover all the things Memorial has to offer. Memorial is an equal opportunity employer.
You want your children and grandchildren to focus on their future, not tuition. For more than 150 years, Busey Bank has partnered with families and businesses to establish impactful, enduring legacies. Busey's experienced advisors can help build plans and develop strategies that work as hard as you do, evolving to create lasting impact for your family and legacy. Learn more at Busey.com. Member FDIC.
During the midst of this healthcare crisis, you can continue to count on the trusted staff at Dale's South Lake and Coley's Drugstores to continue to bring you fast, friendly, and reliable pharmacy services. We encourage customers to utilize our home delivery service, curbside delivery, or our drive-thru window. Don't forget to download our free Coley's Drugs app to submit refills for your medication anytime. Our friendly staff can help you pick out Fannie Mae candy, cards, puzzles, or other over-the-counter items. Call us today at 429-5165 for all your pharmacy needs. We're friends helping friends.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Friday, good morning and welcome. The local time here in Decatur, 8:50, 4:23, 4:05, to be exact. All right, it was a busy week.
Yeah, it was a busy just last 40 minutes.
I feel kind of like when you got to cram 5 days worth of stuff into 4 days, you get that feeling of.
Yeah, it's good stuff, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. I saw that project.
Man, I don't usually get to know anything before it happens. I was looking at that yesterday. I was like, oh, man, that is so awesome. That's a big deal.
Well, it's an important, you know, this is like dominoes after a while.
This is a cornerstone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And I know how hard they work, and I know all the criticism that the local elected officials get, you know, and particularly in this past couple of years. But this is what they do. I mean, this is at the heart of what they do. It's not all the red meat stuff that everybody gets mad about. It's taking care of infrastructure, taking care of what can we bring to the table to help create jobs and economic development in our community.
And not only that, Brian, but we are starting to get national attention because of those efforts. I mean, how many lists in the last year have we made the top 10, top five, you know, a handful at this point?
Yes. And so every bit of it, every piece of it is all interconnected and leads to more and more.
Part of a bigger plan.
Yep, absolutely. All right, one last break and we'll come back and wrap things up. You're listening to Byers & Company.
If you were meant to innovate new technology and break new ground, if you were meant to build the next generation of game-changing businesses, if you were meant to turn your passion into a profession by taking part in groundbreaking productions, then you were meant for Millikan. Millikan University is looking for the next generation of courageous, confident leaders. Visit millikan.edu to learn more about academic programs, scholarships, and financial aid, or simply to connect with a member of the admission team. Are you ready to make it Millikan?
Fall into fashion with apparel in deep, rich fall colors of rust, brown, and green. Fall into fashion in leggings, straight leg, and fun, flowy palazzo pants. Fall into fashion in comfy shirts, tunics, and sweaters. Fall into fashion at Shop on Main in downtown Decatur. Fall into fashion in beautiful wraps, coats, scarves, and gloves. And fall into fashion with wonderful handbags, jewelry, unique accessories, and gifts for men, women, and children. Fall into fashion at Shop on Main at 407 North Main Street. Modern looks, old fashion pampering.
Do you want a chance to positively impact the Decatur community and grow your career? If you've got the passion, Decatur Memorial Hospital is the place. Right now, Decatur Memorial Hospital, an affiliate of Memorial Health System, is hiring for a wide range of positions across multiple departments and clinic areas. Apply your passion today and visit jobs.choosememorial.org to see all available positions, benefits, and more. Come discover all the things Memorial has to offer. Memorial is an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, JR here from Speed Lube, and I'm just like you. I don't like waiting around for something to get done either. At Speed Lube, we pride ourselves in offering you the best customer service experience in as little time needed, featuring quality Pennzoil motor oil. Speed Lube and Pennzoil are two names you can trust to keep your vehicle running at tip-top shape regardless of the weather. Stop in and visit us at any of our six convenient Decatur area locations or our shops in Lincoln and Clinton, and get your Pennzoil oil change today at Speed Lube.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Friday, we only got about 50 seconds left here, Nick. I want to give away five more pairs of tickets to see the big show tomorrow night.
All right.
And I know you got to get to school, so here's what I want to do. I'll just take the first five callers,
okay.
Or actually, you'll take the first five callers at 217-875-1340. They got an amazing show coming up tomorrow night with some of the best jazz musicians you will ever see in your life, all coming together to literally honor and raise money in the name of Billy Rogers and this tribute from the Bobby Lyle and Dave Stryker band. They've got some amazing musicians. 217-875-1340. First five callers get a pair of tickets. First responders and their families are in for free. We'll be back with you Monday. Have a great weekend.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now. The Illinois House returns to Springfield today and sweeping energy legislation is expected. It's unclear when the Senate would come back for concurrence. The measure could include hundreds of millions in ratepayer subsidies for Exelon to keep some of its nuclear energy fleet slated for closure next week open. The office of the Illinois State Fire Marshal is hosting the...
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.